Hello. Okay. So, I have no idea what to talk about. I'm practicing radical honesty. See how far it gets me. But I did notice, you can't help but notice when you sit down, the body becomes a prominent feature of your attention, right? And my heart was like going really crazy. And it took me a while for my body to settle down and to feel safe, nothing to be anxious about, no preparation required, just being present with whatever is happening in the moment. What makes it so difficult for us to suspend that into our daily lives more? Because it has an inherent pleasure to it, right? Anybody feel the pleasure of just being present? There's a kind of a sweetness and an expansiveness. And the contrast is we wake up in the morning and we have a schedule, Boom, 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 boom. What time is it? How much time do I have to do the things that I need to do before I go out and do the next things that I need to do? And on until the end of the day when we finally relinquish ourselves to the bed and go to sleep, and the next morning we wake up and we do the same things. It's like, what kind of a life is that to live? When it creates so much agitation and stress in our bodies, and because our bodies are agitated and stressed, our minds become hyperactive because the mind has the purpose of figuring things out for us, although it doesn't often succeed in that purpose. But it doesn't give up. So in the Buddhist tradition, taking this seat and doing this practice is taking refuge from the storm, being able to drop everything and regain a deep, intimate meeting with ourselves. Because frankly, we run away from ourselves so much of the time through engagement and entertainment and being busy, worrying, pushing, fretting. Somehow all those kinds of activities seem to be essential to our survival, but are they? What is the essence of this that we call being alive? It's being in contact with this because it's a temporary condition. We will lose our bodies. We'll lose our minds if we haven't already. But we don't lose awareness. Awareness is impersonal. It's like the flow of light that turns the light bulbs on in our minds and our bodies. And we all share in the same awareness. We can call it God, we can call it transcendence, we can call it bliss. But essentially, it's the light of awareness. Like an empty stage, it expands and includes the infinite forms. The infinite forms. So when we come to sit, we come to connect with awareness, becoming aware. What do we feel? What is this thing called experience? To stop running and to settle down and to be still, and to be silent, is to encounter awareness. And awareness has its own inherent sweetness. It feels good. Somehow it puts a smile on our face. Now that's not always true. Sometimes when we practice, we're in touch with suffering. Sometimes we feel the tension that's been building up in our bodies. And this yoga position is very, very skilled at showing us where our bodies are holding. But even in those circumstances, the level of attention that we apply to ourselves is so precious because we want attention. You know, from the littlest child to the oldest person, what we want is attention because it gives us a sense of being. When other people attend to us, we feel we really exist. We feel excited. We feel relevant. We feel important. But the most important attention is the attention that we give to ourselves. It's an acknowledgement of the preciousness of our being. Which is different from being self-important or self-conscious or self-involved, because that just involves stories that we tell ourselves about who we are and what we're worth. When we attend to ourselves, we feel the closest and purest form of love. Attention is love. Whatever we attend to, it comes alive for us like it is being loved, it is being appreciated. We are appreciating ourselves. And acknowledging the challenge of being alive from moment to moment. We've got lots of ways to forget that it's a challenge and that it's an extraordinary gift being alive. You know, in the infinite realm of everything, for us to be embodied in this time and in this place and to have this experience called being alive is absolutely extraordinary. It's beyond magical. It's profound, and we can't understand it, what brings us here. I mean, from the beginning of time, people have been telling stories about why we're here and what we're supposed to do here, because it's been a conundrum for all beings that have self-awareness to consider, well, what are we doing here? What is this all about? And that is the kind of introspection or reflection that leads us to the essential question, the essential spiritual question, true across all spiritual traditions and religions. Who am I? Or we could even say, what am I? So when we practice, we begin to reflect on the essence of that question with the hope that we will discover our true nature. You could say, well, I'm a man or I'm a woman, you know. I'm American or I'm French or I'm Republican or I'm a Democrat. I'm healthy or I'm ill. I'm in love or I'm in hatred or, but who is that being that has those attributes? What is going on here that we have this experience? Who knows? It's still, after all these centuries and millennia, it's still a mystery, believe it or not. And acknowledging the mystery makes us humble. And being humble, we realize there's only one way to begin to penetrate the answer to the question, who am I? And that's what we're doing here. And the great news about this practice is it's not dependent on a person telling us the truth, an authority figure demanding that we do these things and behave according to a certain blueprint of goodness. A good teacher is somebody who brings us together so that we can practice this way and doesn't tell you the answers, because you are the only ones who can come up with the answers to whom you are and what is going on moment to moment. And whatever truths we can germinate out of that practice. And maybe the next time that we practice, we'll discover something different. Because really, as lots and lots of poets have said, and I'm sure Howie has read some of that poetry to you, there is eternity in each moment. And that's why there's a rejuvenating quality about practice, because it gives us a feeling of being beginners again, asking the question for the very first time. Like being reborn. Like saying, okay, I've tried to figure it out for years and years and years, but this time when I sit, it's like it's the first time. I'm reflecting on the truth of myself for the first time. And we bring expectations to our practice. We want to be good sitters. We want to follow the rules. We want to make sure we do it right. We want to make sure we do it long enough. But there's no way of practicing wrong. As long as we're still and we're silent, we're doing it right. And what are we doing? We're being with ourselves, nothing more, nothing less. It's almost forbidden, you know, in society to take time to just be alone by oneself, reflecting. You know, we're a society of action, of doers. Got to be doing something. Look at how busy I am. Look at how important I am. I've got 1,000 calls to return, a lot of texts to respond to, and emails to read. And then after that, I'm meeting somebody for lunch, and after that, and after that, and after that, and after that. So this is kind of like the opposite of that action stream. It's sitting down in the middle of all the activity, and refusing, in a way, refusing to do anything. Not answer the phone, not wonder why the siren is screaming outside of the church. To not do anything is probably the most challenging spiritual quest that we have. Because if we weren't here in this group, in this context where it's appropriate to sit and do nothing, we would find it very difficult, and a lot of people find it very difficult to practice even for 15 minutes per day on their own, because it just feels so foreign. So I'm talking because we've got some new meditators in the room, and I'm talking to them as much as to myself and to all of us. The simplicity of the practice makes it difficult to get. It's too simple. We've made very, very complicated minds and lives for ourselves. It's hard to charge for sitting. Who's going to pay you for doing a half-hour sitting? Maybe there's some insights, but then when you get up, you forget them. And, you know, within 15 minutes, you're off and running. We're off and running, answering and watching and learning and working and traveling and doing the things that we do. Which is one of the reasons that longer retreats are really very powerful, because there's a commitment to staying with it day after day, from morning to night. When I first started, the minimum retreat was 10 days. That's been reduced to 6 days. So already we're cutting down, you know, the time of this kind of attention to awareness. And all the greatest teachers of all time have tried to describe the nature of awareness. Because awareness is impersonal. We all share in it. We all experience it. Because that's why we have subjective moment-to-moment experience. It all happens on the stage of awareness. But it's impersonal. Everybody shares in the same awareness, fills it up a little differently. So there's something delicious about just being aware in the moment. Nobody is making any demands. Our minds become more quiet, more relaxed. And there's a peacefulness that sets in. Which you could say is the heart of being, this peacefulness. And even though this peacefulness is so delicious and delightful and relaxing, we can't sustain it. We want to go back to worrying and fretting and being busy and being stressed and anxious and making plans for how to feel better. So one of the great things about coming into a group and sitting together is touching back into that inherent, peaceful, delicious sweetness. We don't have to do anything. It isn't cultivated. It's a natural, inherent quality. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to order it from Amazon. It's just there. It meets us. And says, "Where have you been? Why do you run away from me?" Even right at this moment, you know, there might be some part of us that says, okay, what's next? Right? Because we're like an engine. We're always trying to move forward, moving, pushing. So my appeal to you all, and myself included, is don't deny yourselves this bliss, this peacefulness and sweetness. It's rejuvenating. It moves us into an alignment with what's true. It softens the heart. It quiets the mind. And it gives us a sense of ease. We could call it sacred ease if we want to really lift it up, you know, make it very, very special. But as special as it feels, it's the foundation of being. So it's everywhere all the time. There's nothing, it's ever present. Don't have to reach for it. Don't have to work for it. Just invite it through being quiet.